Chapter 61. Get up in 3 seconds. I'm gonna nail you with a biscuit. Kylar struggled to open his eyes, and the voice went on without even slowing. 1, 2, 3. Kylar's eyes shot open, and he snatched the hard biscuit out of the air with such force that it exploded into crumb shrapnel. Damn it! He said, combing biscuit pieces out of his hair. What did you do that for? Durzo was grinning from ear to ear. Fun, he said. Kylar scowled. There was something different about his master. His eyes seemed a little more round, his skin a little lighter, the shirt he was wearing tighter across the chest and shoulders. What are you doing? He asked. Eating breakfast, Durzo said, chomping into another biscuit. I mean your face.
What, pimple? Durzo asked,
patting his forehead, the word coming out, pimple, around the biscuit. Durzo, you went to bed Imori and you woke up half-breed.
Oh, that. What, you want to hear more? I talked last night more than I've talked in 100 years.
Kylar thought he might not be exaggerating.
You need to learn everything at once?
You're mortal now. And you're old. You could keel over at any moment.
You have a point, Durzo said. You saddle the horses. I'll talk.
Kylar rolled his eyes and began tending to the horses.
You've tried illusory masks. I've seen your whole little scary black mask thing that the Sakage found so impressive.
Thanks, Kylar griped. It had been impressive, damn it. Wait, when did you see that?
In Caernarvon.
You came to Caernarvon? When did you...
Too late to save Jarl, but early enough to save Eileen. Now stop interrupting, Durzo said. You might have noticed there are some drawbacks to making masks of real faces, especially with disguises of people of different height from yours. I made some good masks in my time, but it was horrible work, and if someone touched you or it even started raining, the illusion would break. Then one time I died. Got a leg hacked off and bled to death. When I came back, as always, my body was whole.
Look at yourself. Dead 6 times and not a scar.
How can that be?
How could I regrow an arm?
I thought you said it was a leg,
Kylar said, throwing a saddle over Tribe's back. For once, the brute didn't try to bite him. And what's that about Eileen?
It was an arm, just remembered. I'll tell you about Eileen later. What I figured out is that somehow our bodies know what shape we're supposed to be. I mean, when you cut any man's arm, arm skin grows back there, not a nose or another head. Why? Because the body knows what's supposed to be there. I figured that if that was the case, all I had to do to make a perfect disguise was change the instructions. Ha! If only it were that simple. I figured out a few things along the way. Like, Ladeshians aren't just really tanned, and if you change your height dramatically, expect to be uncoordinated for a year. And don't mess with your eyesight, and don't change things about your body that you merely don't like. Pretty soon you'll be so damn beautiful people will stop on the streets to watch you. It makes for a lousy disguise. Anyway, it took me, I don't know, 100 years? I have about 20 bodies I do now. Oh, that is, bodies I've spent enough time in that I know how they work, understand their stride, their movement, their quirks. 20 is probably too many, but I got nervous once when I found 2 different paintings of me made 200 years apart from different sides of Midcryu, and obviously me in both of them. Some Alatiran collector had the 2 hanging side by side in his study. I'd moved to Alatera to start a new life, and I was using that same damn body.
Wait, you're telling me you could have chosen any face? And you chose the nasty, ugly Durzo Blint face?
That's my real face, Durzo said, offended. Blood rushed to Kylar's cheeks. Oh, by the god, I'm so sorry. I mean, I'm sorry I said that, not that your face is...
Gotcha, Durzo said.
Kylar pursed his lips.
Bastard.
Anyway, it takes time to make the transition, especially when you start, and doing it halfway can be rather horrifying. We're on the trail, so we meet many people. If the skin on the upper half of my body is blackest Ladeshian but my legs are white, or if half my face is young and half old, folks don't take it too well. I can actually do it much faster now, but I figured I'd show you body magic that's merely intensely difficult before I show you the damn near impossible stuff.
Wait, does that mean you can make yourself look like anything? So you could be a girl?
I don't want to hear your twisted fantasies, Durzo said.
Hey!
I've never been a girl or an animal. I have a small fear of getting stuck. Once I made a disguise that I was a man without a trace of talent. What was supposed to be a quick 1 month disguise while I infiltrated the Chantry instead took me a decade to undo and cost me my chance to recover the Silver Kakari, Durzo said. Being stuck as a fat Modaini? Bad. Being stuck as a woman? Unthinkable.
So why are you changing now? And what into?
I'll look like a 50-year-old, rather affable Wadriner Count, who appears to have a small talent that he's never tapped. Because the reason I'm leaving the woman I love behind and going with you to the Chantry, not my favorite place, is that I want to meet my daughter. In fact, I'd appreciate your help getting the disguise right. I'd like her to look at me and say, oh, I have his eyes.
But Kylar wasn't interested in that yet. He paused. Master, what does it mean? The wolf called me nameless. If I learn to do what you do, I'll be faceless too. If we can be anyone, who are we?
Durzo smirked. And even in another face, that bemused smirk was Durzo Blint through and through. The wolf doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. I had a delusion once that every new life I started was new. Our gift doesn't give us so much freedom or terror. What we are is night angels, of an order ancient when I joined it. What it means to be a night angel is a harder question. Why do we see the Koranti? At Kylar's questioning look, Durzo said, the unclean. And seeing them isn't a compulsion, it's a sensitivity. There was a time when I could see a lie. But in the year before the Black abandoned me, I could barely see a murder. What does it mean? Why was I chosen? Jorson sometimes had the gift of prophecy. He told me I needed to take the Black. All history rests in your hands, my friend, he told me. I believed him. I would have walked through a wall of flame for that man. But 100 years later, all my friends were dead, the world descended into a dark age, and no one was even pursuing me. Maybe my grand place in history, my whole purpose, was to keep the Kakari safe for 700 years until I could give it to you. You'll forgive me if that doesn't seem entirely satisfying. Imagine rallying an army. Come on, men, let's get together and... wait. But then again, if reality is hard and flat and unjust, then it's better to adjust to what reality is than to complain that it isn't what you wish. That was what made me lose faith in prophecies, in purpose, even in life, I guess. But having lost it, soon I doubted my lack of faith. There were niggling hints of meaning everywhere. At the end of the day, you choose what you believe, and you live with the consequences.
So that's it.
That's what?
Choose what you believe and live with the consequences is all you've learned after 700 years?
We're fucking immortal, and that's all you're going to tell me of why?
Faster than Kylar remembered his master could move, Durzo's hand lashed out. His backlash cracked across Kylar's cheek and jaw. It stunned Kylar. A backhand hurt the person who delivered it nearly as much as the person who received it. So the only reason Durzo would choose a backhand was for the contempt implicit in it. They stood, looking at each other, silent. Mixed with Durzo's frustration, Kylar could see regret. But Durzo didn't apologize. Apologizing was one skill Achilles Thorn hadn't mastered in 7 centuries.
Kid, every place I've turned left, you've turned right. And now you want me to tell you your destiny? Would it mean anything to you if I told you?
Kylar said, It would tell me where to turn right. Despite himself, Durzo grinned. But it wasn't enough to bridge the sudden gap. Kylar could see now that his rejection of the lessons Durzo had tried to pass on had cut Durzo deeply, even if Durzo now agreed some of those lessons had been wrong. At the same time, Durzo was saying the same thing that the wolf had told Kylar long ago. Kylar had never accepted other people's answers, not Durzo's bitter practicality, not Mama Kay's cynicism, not Count Drake's piety, and not Eline's idealism. Durzo was right about choosing what you believe and living with the consequences. Kylar trailed off.
We're immortal. We're night angels. I don't know what it means. I don't know why we're this way or what we're supposed to do with it. Sometimes I feel like a god, and other times I don't feel like I change anything. If I'm going to live forever, I want it to be for something. I mean, you can't tell me that your destiny has been to hold the Kakari for 700 years until I came along. That's ridiculous, terrible. It's not good enough. You're a great man, not a lockbox.
Kylar scowled. Gods, he'd just given Durzo a backhanded compliment. Exactly how Durzo gave compliments to him. Durzo's little grin told him he'd noticed. But he could also tell that the compliment meant a lot to him. In all the times Kylar had been irritated that his master never properly appreciated how well Kylar did, he'd never really thought that Durzo might want to be appreciated too. Kylar hadn't bothered to tell Durzo how excellent he thought he was. He figured it was obvious. Maybe that was another knife that cut both ways.
Being a lockbox wasn't the destiny I chose, Durzo said. Right or wrong, or right or left, I've chosen to seek the Kakari, take them, and scatter them so those who would use them for evil can't. I don't know if that's what Jorson foresaw, but it's what I've chosen. Has it been meaningful and satisfying? Sometimes. I've had some good lives and some that were just damn awful. Now that you bear the black, I can lay my burden and my destiny down. Now I get different choices. So I'll train you until spring and see my daughter as much as I can. Then there's a woman I have to ask to love a man who doesn't deserve it.
Your choices? Well, that's your shit.
He smirked, acknowledging he was being a bastard. Kylar sighed. He loved Durzo, but the man sure was a pain in the ass.